anyway, we're the last times I've been here, which I don't even remember when I've been here or not, we're studying the word renew from the standpoint of where it talks about in Romans 12, be transformed or transfigured by the renewing of your mind. The transformation occurs by you being in cooperation or in agreement with God with regard to your mind. The transformation occurs by no other way. You cannot be in agreement with your mind unless you agree with what God says about your mind and what God says about life on earth. What God says about your mind is that you are the instead of Christ, the Antichrist. The only way you will ever have any ability or any efficacy to be able to have your mind renewed is when you know that the instead of Christ, the usurper, the one who was raised himself from the deadly head wound, is the one that's giving you your thoughts and your emotions and your responses to stimuli. And every one of those thoughts, those emotions, and those responses to stimuli is an enemy of faith. It's a mortal enemy of faith. And so it doesn't matter whether the response is love, because what the human being calls love is just self-love. Stergo. It doesn't matter whether it's love or hate. It doesn't matter whether it's like or dislike. It doesn't matter whether they think it's good or bad. You can give absolutely no importance to the judgments with regard to your mind, because it comes from the place of the curse. And it comes from that which is a mortal enemy of God and all things godly, which is the Antichrist. Now, we think anti means against, because that's what it means in English. But you've got to understand that anti is not a translation of a Greek word. It's a transliteration. In other words, they took the same word and brought it over into, it's like baptize and baptizo. You can't use what you think the word means in English to define what it means. It isn't against Christ, it's instead of Christ. If you think about that with any kind of intellectual integrity, you'll find that every thought that you have is an instead of Christ thought. So the importance of being transfigured, which is the goal, that's what the scriptures call the taking up or the rapture, but not the rapture like the modern people think it is. It's when the end of the world comes, we will raise up to meet him in a cloud. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and then those which are alive shall rise up with them, and we'll meet him in the air. But as we meet him in the air, if we turn back, everything in time and space is on fire. It's melting with fervent heat because it has to pass through a dot that's smaller than your eye can see. So all will be transfigured, just like all men die at the same time, all men will be transfigured at the same time. Not all men, but all believers, all those who are without spot and wrinkle, whose garment has not been spotted by the flesh, shall rise up to meet him in the air. There's nothing else after that, because that's when Christ or God has ordained that time should be no more. I happen to believe that this will occur in our lifetime. And the main reason I believe that is because of what it says in 2 Thessalonians. It says there that the day of Christ, which is the day we're talking about, cannot come unless something happens first, unless the man of sin, the son of perdition, has been revealed. Doesn't have to be revealed to the entire body of Christ or even the entire world. Just as in Christ the transfiguration could not happen until one person knew that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. Once Peter confessed that, then the transfiguration of Christ could occur. So I believe now it just takes one or two or a small group of people to know who the Son of Perdition the one above all wickedness is, then the end can come. Now, if you don't believe that you are the son of perdition, if you don't believe that you're the evil one, if you don't believe that you're the wicked one, then you're a fool, because you're not honest with yourself, because you don't know you're the chief of sinners. You don't know that you don't deserve your next breath. But what you don't realize is one of the anchor points of what Luther realized and what all great saints have realized in the past, that it's their thoughts that are crucifying the Son of God afresh. And until you know that, you will continue on this insane trip of trying to use that which is cursed to find the mystery of God. You will go on this insane trip of trying to improve yourself by that which is cursed. You'll try to apprehend God by that which is cursed. It can't happen. You're trying to use the illegal means, namely the instead of Christ, to find God or Christ. It's a contradiction in terms. That's why he doesn't need our help. Once you have been born again, once you have recognized the end of all of you, and recognize that that seed or sperma of God, of Christ in you, the hope of glory, is what is the light that lighteth all men that come into the world, but men love the darkness rather than the light. You have to understand that you too love the darkness rather than the light. And then think about that, or consider that. Consider what has happened. What's been the fruit of your loving the darkness? What is the reason you love the darkness? The word darkness there doesn't mean blackness. It means really twilight. Because in the twilight, you can compare. And once you can compare, you will be able to always find someone that's worse off than you are. And so you'll be able to judge one person. And as long as you're able to judge one person on the face of the earth down, katakrino in the Greek, then you cannot know that you're the chief of sinners, because there's somebody else that's worse than you. And so the agency of being transfigured or being transformed is the renewing of your mind. And the predicate for renewing of your mind is it's finished. I mean, you got to see, these are the last words, essentially, that Christ said. It's finished. You got to think that must be important. If you search the scriptures and find out the last things that the people in the scriptures said, they're mind-blowing. I happen to do that. That's one of the first things I did. I went through and found out what the last words of Paul were, the last words of David, the last words of Moses, the last words of Peter, and they all say the same thing. So until you come to the place where you know that you are the chief of sinners, you know that you are the Antichrist, then the process of renewing of your mind can't take place. Now, well, you could say, well, that means that nobody in the world, because they don't know they're the Antichrist. We're not, again, you got to understand, you're never judged by what you don't have, but you are called to be faithful to what you do have. Just as the people in Somalia and other places on earth, they're being killed or their hands being cut off for our sake in the gospel. So what we must be faithful to is for their sake in the gospel. So don't compare. As long as we have the same issues, the same tenets of faith, and I'm proud to call these people brothers and sisters in Christ, the subtleties of it are what give the bride the expression, or the cosmetic of the bride. So the renewal of your mind is the agency by which the transfiguration occurs. Now hear me. If you don't understand this, you will understand nothing. And you'll be again just swept around by the winds and waves of doctrine and the sleight of men, including you. What you are doing with regard to renewing of your mind is for the benefit of the entire body of Christ. And your faith will echo throughout all of time and space if you can understand and see this. Just like the people in the scriptures, faith is benefiting us. If you can't see it, and if you continue on in the blindness of your own mind, then you're simply a fool. If you don't go to war by casting down these imaginations in the high places that are exalting themselves against the knowledge of God, then you're doubly a fool. And if you don't bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ and stop getting off on your good ideas, you understand you can't have a good idea? You can't exalt yourself by having some little harebrained notion of what you think you should do or not do? So stop it. Because once you're seduced by that, then you're seduced, period. Oh, I got this good idea, and I'm going to hold on to it. There are no heroes in the body of Christ. The only man of God in the scriptures is Jesus Christ. So don't make yourself into a hero by some illusion or some fantasy that you might have that your idea is going to save this person or do that. I won't mention any names, but you're going to save Trinity because you've got this great idea. Stop it. So,
God doesn't need our help.
Renewing your mind. Remember, the word renew is used a bunch of places, and I'm going to tell you about them. But it's a Greek word, anakinesis. It means a gradual conforming to that which was and is. Now, don't concentrate on the part of the definition called gradual, because the gradual has already occurred in you. Now it's getting too late. So until you go to war with a vengeance, by having every thought stand up against it is finished, you're in the wrong place. Let me put it that way. Anybody have any response to the introduction? What?
Yeah, I have. It's the most of my three responses. Number one is like, I've heard this many times before. It's like I heard it again this morning. It's like, it's new because, when you were talking about the Antichrist, it's like it was hurting my ears. It's like I was being cursed or something. It's like, and that leads me to believe now, I wouldn't have known this back then, that that's true. I understand that. Because it's like it's painful. So I nowadays, stuff is it's painful or something.
That's probably true.
Yeah, and it's like, I don't want to believe that, I'm this bad person. So then, and then it's, what's being said is true. And this is what was the second. And the second thing was, remember that scripture about, saying, we tried, to read the Bible and stuff. Remember that scripture about, that he showed us approved. Going back to Christ and all the stuff, if you're into Christ and God, and stuff like that. So, and I think I've asked this question before. It's been some time, so I don't know what the answer was.
Okay, study to show thyself approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. the operative. You have to understand this. You have to see that scripture in the context of the whole. But it's the same, rightly dividing is the same word that's used for what happens with the two-edged sword, cutting up the sacrifice. So you rightly divide the word of truth in the same way by apprehending that all of the possibilities that you could be in have been covered by the offerings. That by one offering you've been perfected forever and you can't improve on perfection. So to rightly divide the word of truth means that you've apprehended the offerings. That he, by one offering, have perfected you forever. That's what that scripture means. Okay? You don't get three. Go ahead. I think you're making them up as you go along.
No, I don't remember there ever being a case of any intellectual integrity. I think I do, but that's one thing that I've never been accused of.
Okay. All right. Anybody else have a response?
Well, you reminded me of the scripture about that has all the ungodlies in it, ungodly men and their ungodly minds and their ungodly thoughts. About eight ungodlies.
I was thinking how I think I saw pretty clear this idea that it doesn't take the whole body of Christ to see this. And the logic of that struck me hard. Otherwise, you've got to do what the evangelists are doing and go spend all your time trying to bring, you know,
save the world.
Make converts, you know, twice the child of hell that you are.
Well, the point of it is that, I mean, I'm not going to condemn them. It's not my job to say whether their calling is that or not. But the only thing that I will condemn is when they try to sell Christ. Some of the greatest, my heroes of the faith in this generation are the people that are in places like Yemen and that are there as evangelists.
Yeah, there are those who are making the children of hell. I guess those would be the ones whose time is.
Right. The only reason that scripture exists is to cause all of us to repent. To make sure that, because our motives are always wrong.
I guess the effect of whatever, the whole thing you were saying, just puts you at rest. There's nothing to do. What happens, what needs to be done, God will do through you.
You just meet need as you see it.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
Yeah, when you were, you're saying that we're all the Antichrist, and something in me wanted to know, how did it turn out that way?
The fall.
Where did you go wrong?
Okay, let me ask you a question. If you don't think the fall influenced you genetically, where would you be if your grandfather had died at birth? You wouldn't exist. There's only two people. There's only Christ and the Antichrist, or Christ and Satan. And Jesus was the last Adam. I mean, this is the mystery of godliness, that I am ungodly, no matter what I do. That's why I abandon myself. That's why I can take no thought for my life. That's why I can take no thought for what I do. That's why I can make no attempt to apprehend the kingdom of God. As soon as I try, then I've polluted it.
Yeah, I understand that.
But you became the Antichrist because Satan is your father. You are of your father, the devil. Read John 8 from 31 to 44. Okay?
Yeah, it's because I have this natural ingrained tendency to distinguish between good and evil.
That's because of who you are. You are of your father, the devil. Because of the fall. There was a genetic change at the fall. A lot of things happened at the fall. In my opinion, before the fall, there was no difference between conscious and subconscious mind. There was only dependence on God. After the fall, in order that man could survive long enough to be be useful to God by being the vessel for the mystery of God, he had to create this, the difference between consciousness, which is awareness of self and your surroundings, and unconsciousness, which is fundamentally your body functions, your motor functions and other things. If he, in that way, you have the illusion of control, which is the element of the Antichrist. You want to control. You want self-deification. If you didn't have a subconscious and a conscious and all was consciousness, then you'd be in control of all your body functions. You'd have to be able to tell which muscles to relax and which muscles to tense up in order to sit. Otherwise, you just fall off the chair. You'd have to be able to tell which, every time you ate something, you'd have to be able to tell which enzymes, et cetera, to be released. You'd have to, all the time keeping your heartbeat rating, all the time keeping the right amount of the endorphins and other hormones, all the time keeping your breathing going. I mean, you couldn't do it. And so in order for you to have the potential to be of use to God, he had to split the mind so there was conscious and unconscious. And that you could live in the illusion of control and trying to be in control so that you could come to the end of that and be of use to God. Anybody else? Boho?
I realized a second ago a function of my mind, perhaps others, how this abandonment thing you think of is that's what you do when you first start out being a Christian. Then after you become more into it, then you don't have to abandon your thoughts so much because now you're doing Bible stuff. It's like when it's the opposite. Yeah. So you're much more abandoned.
Yeah, like I said, when I first was a believer, I heard from God all the time. I knew it was the voice of God. I heard him in a jillion ways. The longer I'm with him, the less I hear him. Now, the carnal Christian thinks the opposite should be true. It's only the mature believers that hear him. That's not right, because then they miss the purpose. The purpose of obedience is so you will do what he wants you to do without him telling you. That's the meaning of obedience. Otherwise, you would just be an automaton. And so, therefore, people thinking that they have to appear as they are spiritually mature, especially if you're on television and you're a preacher.
He might even interrupt you in mid-sentence.
You have to be able to claim that you hear from God. And the problem with that is you believe you do. But it's the vanity of your own mind, according to the scriptures. And so that deception becomes deception upon deception. And it leads almost, it says it leads many, but the word many there means almost all. Almost all will be led astray by that because it's so appealing. I mean, this is for those that came out of the charismatic movement that are here and came through. This is the most difficult. They're the most difficult because they've been inculcated with this issue that in order to be a true believer, they have to be able to say, "Thus saith the Lord." One of the worst times in my life, I was supposed to be a guest speaker at this church. And I went, and all these people got up and sang. They all had prophecy, "Thus saith the Lord." And I stood up and I said, "I can't speak here because all of you are lying."
Cool.
And I walked out.
Cool.
And I said, I told them why they were lying, but I gave them the scripture to prove they were lying. None of them heard me. Anyhow. Huh?
Yeah,
Babylon. You know, and you sit there, and pretty soon after you do that for a while, you say, well, my God, there must be something wrong with me. So the next day, you get up and say, thus saith the Lord.
No, I never do.
Well, and but if you don't, then pretty soon you start feeling like you're less than perfect. You're not complete.
I did, but I was thinking, like, eventually, if I stick with it, I would be able to say, thus saith the Lord.
Well, but from God's standpoint, you no longer say, thus saith the Lord. Whatever, let every man speak is the oracle of God. If you think you have to say, thus saith the Lord, or according to Matthew 13:6, that means you don't know what you're talking about. If you have to cite, you know, then you're just like the modern scientists. The only way they can prove anything is by citing it. They have to have, you know, if somebody wants me to prove what I believe, I can do it easily, but I'm not going to sit and justify what I say by according to Matthew 13:3 or according to, you know, that's goofy. And to believe that I have to say, thus saith the Lord, in order for anybody to pay attention to me, literally means I don't believe what I say. Right?
Yeah. When you really study the video footage like we do, you can see it. You can see when they realize they've gone a little too far, they have to say, I'm speaking under the anointing, or my God, the anointing's here. I mean, they have to invoke this authority. Believe what I'm saying, even though it sounds far-fetched. It's just, you can see it.
But they're not mad. They're so, anybody with an ounce of discernment knows it's just a lie. But they're leading all these people astray. But that's predicted. There's no end time revival in the scriptures. Not once. The end time revival came on the day of Pentecost. That's prophesied in Joel and elsewhere. The only thing that's end time is apostasy, falling away from truth. And many, almost all, being led astray. So don't be surprised. Because it's easy. I mean, do you understand how difficult it is to believe what we believe in this day? I'm sure you must. Because everything says it's wrong. Except the scriptures. Except your heart. That's why I say, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, I said this, now that I think about it, I started getting really, really bad in bed when I said this the first time. I said, I don't care if there are three people left. The rebellion is going to be gone. And the people here are going to be of one heart, one mind, of one place. Because I'm not interested in numbers.
It's interesting to me the way I would do that, the way I would cause what you just said to take place, is I would have the leader of the group become bigger and stronger and more authoritarian and force that to happen. It appears that God says to make the leader of the group weaker, strong, etc., etc.
Well, anyway, part of you cannot give sway to your mind. For a second, you must go to war. If you don't, I promise you, you will sneak away in the night. It doesn't matter what your outward appearance is. It doesn't matter what your outward activity is. God doesn't care about that. It's meaningless. He cares that what comes out is the same as what's in. That's why, in a very real sense, what we're studying is getting rid of the leaven, which is what is vital for the preparation for Passover. And the fruit of that is humility. Anybody else? We didn't even get to study anything today.
We visited the Unitarian Sunday. We were received like visiting royalty. They really were open faced and friendly and warm and
good.
It was really neat.
I'm gonna have to go back to bed. I've lost it. So Bonnie, would you bring me to... And Pete, I need, when you get back, not right away, but when you get back, I need you to put a new thing up. Take a big guy. Anybody, wait a minute, I didn't, do you have anything, any response, anything to add?
I was thinking, you know, when I hear this preaching about going to war with my mind, it means I need to walk out of here and not have any idea what to do, you know, during the day or even the next minute. And when I walk out of here, I guess I don't believe that's possible because I start thinking about what I'm going to do the rest of the day.
Well, what you do is respond to need, whatever the need is set in front of you. And you have a series of needs that are set in front of you. If you don't know what they are, come and talk to me. And that's why there's an order of, you know, the only reason you would say something like that is if you don't believe in the power of God. You believe that God needs your help. The power of God is absolute, but his humility is more absolute. And so he cannot occupy where you are. And as long as you fill up you with you, namely, what am I going to do about this? When am I going to go there? When am I going to do that? Then he has to leave you to your own devices. And the fruit of your own devices are emptiness, loneliness, aloneness, abandonment or feeling of abandonment by others, feeling of betrayal by everybody, and being a constant victim. Now, I know you know a lot about those feelings. Well, that's the fruit of your mind. Now, try his way, which is emptiness, humility. Because when you say, this is what I have to do, then you're taking a stand. It's the opposite of humility. And God can't use you because of his humility.
What happens to me is everything happens that day to interrupt my agenda.
Yeah.
I'm not allowed, I mean, I can say I'm going to go do this, and I'll walk out the door and I'll get, you know, directed in 200 other ways.
Next thing you know, it's 6 o'clock and you're going, what the hell?
So my challenge is, I can't place any importance on what I thought was important.
And you can't rank.
Yeah.
This is the mistake that most people make, is that you rank activity. It's like you rank sin or you rank people. But once you rank something and say one thing is more important than something else, then you have automatically put yourself above God. And once you rank people, then you've automatically put yourself above God. And that's, I don't even want to go there in terms of telling you how dangerous that is.
That's why marriages are...
Yeah. Anybody else?
I said one old thing about the mind is really pissed that God gave the world to Satan, because this thing wants to incorporate the things of the world into the kingdom. It doesn't want to abandon all these things.
That's why you, in order for you to have any, here anyway, in order for you to have any kind of peace, you have to know the emptiness and futility of all of the things of the world. Until you know that, then everything I tell you and everything you hear at this place, you will cause me to be an enemy. I will offend you in every way.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Well, not just me, but whoever's preaching it.
Yeah, not you.
But it still never ceases to amaze me how many people hate me with perfect hatred. Especially the ones in this room.
As nice as you are.
Yeah, as nice as I am.
Defies logic.
All righty. We'll have Bible study tomorrow. This was like introduction to Bible study.
old preamble.
Big old preamble.
You said all this
to say what? All righty. Take it. I hope I can make it tomorrow. Take it, big guy.